under at this moment. We're not able to have a choir sing like we normally do, but with the regulations that we have, we are allowed to have six people at a time singing within the church. So what we've done tonight is it's going to be a cross between the type of cantata that we did Christmas time and our Christmas Eve service. So that's the feel that we'll have this evening. So we have a few different groups of six coming up to sing a few hymns, cantata, songs in relation to the cross. We'll have a few Bible readings, and then we'll have a short message as well to tie everything together. So I pray the Lord will bless you for being here. Thank you for coming tonight. Lovely to see some people being back for the first time after a while. Lovely to have some visitors with us, and we're just looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us this evening. We'll open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our first few songs. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place, in this way. Father, we recognize the difficulty of the day and age in which we're living in, but we are so grateful for the fact that we're able to come together tonight. We're able to come and celebrate all that you did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Father, we recognize the importance of remembering this day because of the significance of what happened there at Calvary. So, Father, we just pray that you would bless each and every one that's gathered here tonight, that you would be with all of those that have gathered online, and that you would be with the choir and those taking part in the singing tonight, that you'd be with our voices, and that everything which is said and done would bring you glory, honour and praise. If there's somebody that has yet to understand the significance of today, if there's anybody who has yet to trust Christ as their personal Saviour, then I pray that they would come to that saving knowledge of Christ tonight before it's too late. Father, we pray that you would speak to hearts through the singing, through the preaching, through the praying, through the words that they hear tonight. May they see the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and they in need because of their condition. So, Father, we just pray and ask these things that you might be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the first group of people to come up at this time.
Trampled on the ground, he took the shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Thank you.
First reading tonight is taken from Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And then over to Matthew's Gospel. And we're reading from chapter 27, verses 39 to 45. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word.
John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And then in Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden when he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame.
They spat upon the Saviour, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, behold the king. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, woman, behold thy son. He cried, I thirst for water, but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, it's finished, he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Why would the Lord Jesus Christ go through all that he did? Why would he suffer the jeers of an angry mob? Why would he suffer the taunts of a wicked crowd? Why would he go through all that he did upon the cross? The physical suffering, the mental suffering, the spiritual suffering. Romans says, but God commendeth his love towards us. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He could have called a legion of angels. He could have called those that he had created to simply praise and worship him. He could have called at his disposal an innumerable force. And I wonder if we could get a small glimpse into the heavenlies at that time. How many angels were waiting to obey that call, to stop wicked man doing his worst to the precious Saviour. You see, it wasn't three nails that hung the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. It wasn't the Roman soldiers that kept him upon the cross. It wasn't the Jewish mob that kept him upon the cross. It wasn't even sinful man that kept him there. It was love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ would do something like that for us, who were so undeserving. Where were the people that day? You know, when you look at what the Lord said upon the cross, as the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross of Calvary, one of the sayings from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Where were the people that the Lord Jesus Christ had forgiven their sins previously in his ministry? Where was the man of the palsy when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," and the Pharisee said, "Oh, only God can forgive sins." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Okay, is it easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk?" Where was he? His sins had been forgiven. He'd experienced the love of God. He had firsthand experienced God's forgiveness of sin. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, that separated man from God forever. There is nothing man can do that would be good enough to fix that relationship. You know, there's been many times where my relationship with my parents has been strained because I've done something wrong. There's been many times where my relationship with my wife has been strained because she's done something wrong. But we work to put that right. When I was younger, you know, you'd do your punishment, you'd go to your room, and when you got sent to your room, in my age, there wasn't anything in your room to play with, or there was no electronic devices, or it was the punishment being sent to your room. Today, get your room. Oh, happy days. See you after lockdown. But we, you know, there's things that we can do to kind of fix our relationship. Man in his sin can do nothing to fix the relationship with God that was broken in the Garden of Eden. Nothing. We can't earn his forgiveness. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't do anything to fix that broken relationship. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy and his grace, died upon the cross, shed his blood so our sins could be forgiven, and that our relationship with God could be reconciled. But where was the man whose sins had been forgiven? The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary said, "Father, forgive them. They know what they do." Where was the woman caught in adultery? And the Lord wrote on the ground when the mob brought her before the Lord and said she's been caught in the act of adultery. The Lord of Moses says she should be stoned. And the Lord wrote in the ground, and one by one each of the men dropped their stones and suddenly left. And the Lord said to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" And then he told her to go and sin no more. The woman at the well, her sins had been forgiven. But where were they? When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Woman, behold thy son." Think of the widow at Nain whose son had been raised from the dead. I think of Jairus, whose daughter had been raised from the dead. Parents who'd been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ because he had performed a miracle upon their child. And you think, where were they? We don't read of them being at the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I thirst." Again, where was the woman at the well who had the conversation about the Lord in regards to living water? How incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, naked and ashamed. Yet where was the maniac of Gadara, who had been changed by the Lord, who was walking among the tombstones naked, and yet when the Lord Jesus Christ put a touch upon his life, he was clothed and in his right mind? When you think of the lives of people that the Lord Jesus Christ had affected in his short time upon this earth, when you think of the lives of the people that he had touched, those that had been healed, those, the lepers that had been healed, the blind that had been made to see, the lame that had been made to walk, the dead that had been raised to life, the deaf that could hear, and the dumb that could speak, where were they? At the cross of Calvary. How incredible that he was the good shepherd. And yet the sheep that he came to save were nowhere to be seen. How incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ has done so much for us. And I understand we can't repay him. It's impossible for us to repay him. But if he was willing to die for us, shouldn't we be willing to live for him? Shouldn't we be willing to share what he's done? Listen, I grew up in church. I was brought up in church. My mum and dad came to know the Lord as teenagers, and every Sunday we went to church. But just because I went to church, it didn't mean I was a Christian. Going to church didn't guarantee me a place in heaven. I went to church my whole life. And it wasn't until I was 21 years of age that I heard the gospel. That I heard the fact that my sins would separate me from God. I believed in Jesus Christ. I wasn't an atheist. I believed that there was a God. I believed that Christ was real. I believed that he was born of a virgin. That he lived a perfect life. That he died upon the cross. But nobody had ever told me that my sins would separate me from God. And that only by putting my faith and trust in Christ, only by applying his shed blood to my life, to my sins, could they be forgiven, could they be washed, could they be cleansed. You know, if I'd never heard the gospel, I could have still been going to church, still as dead in my trespasses and sins as I was before coming to know Christ as my Saviour. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. And maybe you've been dragged here kicking and screaming. My mind says, we're on lockdown, so what else have you got to do? Probably gone through Netflix and Amazon Prime, watched every single series that is possible to watch now, so maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you're hearing the gospel message for the first time. It doesn't matter whether it's the first time you've heard it, or whether it's the thousandth time you've heard it. The important thing is what you do with it. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. No one is perfect enough. No one is good enough. No one can have good enough behavior to please God and gain access to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. And you might say, well, that's narrow-minded. Well, the gospel is a narrow-minded message, because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's, you want to go on the broad path? That is the way to destruction. The straight and narrow path is the one that leads to heaven. And the only way to get on that path, the only way to be accepted by the Father, is coming via the Son. The only way we can come through the Son is by believing what he did upon the cross. Romans tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with our mouth, that's when salvation comes. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all it takes. That was how simple it was for the thief upon the cross. You see the process that happened with the thief? He started off railing upon the Lord just like his partner in crime. They wanted him to set them free. What can we get out of this? Because we're in a pickle. And then later on, the second thief says, this man has done nothing wrong. But we're being punished, rightly so. The first step to salvation was admitting. He admitted that he was He was a sinner. He admitted that he needed saving. He admitted that he was in the wrong. And then he said to the Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's how simple. And maybe sometimes we think it's too simple. But that's it. You admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Christ died upon the cross for your sins. And that only the shed blood of Christ can cleanse those sins and make you accepted in God's sight and grant you a home in heaven. And then you call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I've seen a lot of things going back and forth on social media today, and lots of people posting verses and scriptures. And one of the questions I see quite a lot is, what is so good about Friday? Why do you call it Good Friday? Because for all intents and purposes, it's a bit of a depressing day. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. But when he cried, it is finished. Finished. The victory cry. It was a cry of victory because the plan of salvation was complete. Because every prophecy had been fulfilled. Every miracle had been performed. Every word had been spoken. Every deed had been done. Everything had been paid in full so that the sinner could come fully reconciled before the holy God and have their sins forgiven and be in God's presence forever. How incredible. That's why it's a Good Friday. There's not many days of the year that we can celebrate the death. But this is one of them. Because the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal benefits or consequences. The benefit for those who call upon his name is that of heaven. The consequence for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ is a place that God prepared for the devil and the fallen angels. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know him as your Savior tonight? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? If you haven't, do it before it's too late. You know, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And I think there are many people who maybe for the first time in their lives, because of this situation we find ourselves in today, have started thinking about death, thinking about what happens next. And maybe for the first time, maybe you are fearful. But the Lord Jesus Christ can take that fear away. There is no fear in death. There's no victory in the grave. There's no sting in the death for those that love the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you know him as your Savior tonight? If you do, then praise the Lord. And we rejoice in this day because of what Christ did upon the cross for us. If you don't know him as your Savior, then call upon his name before it's too late. Boast not thyself for the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Christ died upon the cross for you. If you were the only person on this planet, Christ would have still gone to the cross. Because that was the depth of love that God had for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to sing and praise your most wonderful and holy name. Father, as we come towards the close of our service tonight, we just pray that you would continue to speak to hearts. If there's anyone here that has yet to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, maybe there's somebody here tonight, maybe there's somebody listening to this online that has yet to do that. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to their hearts tonight, that they would recognize that need and see the significance of what this day represents, to see the significance of what Christ did upon the cross for them. So, Father, I just pray that you would have your will and way here with your people and that you would continue to speak to hearts as we sing our last few hymns, as we sing our last few songs, we might continue to glorify our precious and wonderful Saviour. It's in his name that we pray and ask these things now. Amen.
You reign victorious.
Everybody, for being a part of our service this evening. I understand it's a little bit different this year. Needs must. We recognise some of the restrictions that are placed upon us with gathering together and being able to sing. But praise the Lord, we're able to gather together. So we're just thankful for everybody that's come out, for everybody that's helped to try and put this together, for the work the boys have done up on the sound desk, and Steve trying to whip us into some kind of shape just to be able to have something tonight, just to reflect, remember, and even celebrate what the Lord did upon that cross for each and every one of us. So if you're able to come on Sunday morning, I apologise to those watching on the live stream. We have got a little mistake on there, which somebody pointed out via Messenger yesterday. It says that our service is 10 o'clock Sunday morning, but it is still 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So you're more welcome to come at 10 o'clock. So it's at 11 o'clock. I'm trying not to look at Roslyn or Michelle. So it's 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and it would be a blessing to have you with us on Sunday. And then at 6 o'clock Sunday night, obviously we're not doing this Sunday night, but we will be doing something similar, but all the songs and hymns will be in relation to the resurrection. So if you're able to come on Sunday, then it'll be slightly different. Well, it will be different to what we did this evening. So thank you, everybody, for coming. If you're with us for the first time, just hold on 2 seconds. As soon as we close out the live stream, then we'll let everyone know how we dismiss. But if you're on the live stream, thank you again for joining with us this evening. I pray that the Lord will bless you. And again, if you're listening, if you listen to this message and the singing tonight and have yet to trust the Lord as your Savior, then please do that before it's too late. And for those that are listening tonight that have accepted Christ as your Savior, thank you for joining with us and celebrating such an incredible message that we have to share with the whole world. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight, for the opportunity to come around you a word. We thank you for those that have come this evening, Lord, that are with us for the first time, those that are back that haven't been in a while, for our visitors, for our family, Lord. We're just so thankful that we're able to come together, even though it's a bit strange being so distanced and not being able to interact as we usually do, but we are thankful that we can gather in church in this way, especially at this time of year. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to use the message to speak to each and every heart, that you would fulfill the promise that your word never returns void, that it always achieves its purpose. So, Father, I pray for that purpose to be the saving of souls tonight. So, Lord, would you continue to keep us safe? Would your hand of blessing be upon us as we go separate ways? And would you bring us back together at the next appointed time? For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.